Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
I don't remember my voice cracking, but I've looked back at my bar mitzvah video a few times, and it's just like so pubescent. It was like I was talking straight out my nose.
For Andrew Goldberg, singing in public wasn't the worst indignity he suffered as a teenager.
The first inkling of puberty, the first symptoms, if you will, was when I was about 12 or 13, my father felt like a boy my age should not have to shave. And so he talked my mother into waxing my lip. He was very much like, he's 12 years old, he shouldn't have to shave, we're gonna fix him, Linda. That's my mother's name. And you know, she feels terrible about it now. It did hurt when it got ripped off.
It's painful memories like that which inspired Andrew to team up with childhood friend Nick Kroll and two others to co-create Big Mouth, an animated TV series about the shame of puberty.
What the hell is wrong with me?
Nothing. You're a perfectly normal, gross little dirtbag.
And for a while afterwards, like, my beard started coming in, but the one section under my nose on my upper lip was still like weirdly smooth and like Nick Kroll used to call the reverse Hitler, because I had facial hair everywhere but where Hitler did.
And puberty plays such a big part of the show that it literally is a character, depicted as a grotesque hormonal creature named Maurice.
Knock, knock. Who's there? It's the hormone monster.
Puberty is a big, hairy monster. It just is. It's big and unwieldy, and the monster is just a gross, blunt instrument who, you know, is driven by his feelings. He's a little out of shape. He has what we call a party body. Somebody who's partied a little too hard.
It's a monster that Andrew remembers all too well.
In the first season, the character Andrew comes in his pants while slow dancing with a girl, which is something that happened to me when I was that age. When I was like around 13 or 14, I was like just a live wire ready to go off, ejaculation-wise. The slightest touch. The song that was playing is probably something in the vein of like that Bryan Adams song from the Robin Hood movie. It wasn't like hardcore grinding. It was more like light friction. And the wick got lit. There's always that point of no return. And in the show, I mean, it's Nick as the hormone monster gave voice to that moment where it's like,
you need to slow it down.
No, cancel it down.
Fuck it. If you're okay with it, I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it.
the feeling that you have in puberty is that you are turning into this monster, that your body is changing in a way that you can't control. I'm quite confident that Bryan Adams wrote Everything I Do It For You about a child ejaculating in his pants. But that's just my interpretation.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Dave. And in honor of Halloween, we present The Terror of Puberty. Tales of teenagers who are convinced that puberty is transforming them into a hideous monster.
Everything okay in here, sweetie?
Get the hell out, Shannon!
Your hair looks nice.
I said get out!
October 12th, dear diary, guess what? I'm in junior high. I have a lot to say, and I'll start with this. I'm mad. Because I'm not growing that fast. Not just about height, but about my breasts. It's taking a long time, and it hurts.
For kids like Mary Van Note, puberty can't come soon enough. That is, until it finally does come.
I got my period. You can't even feel it coming out. It is really sick and sometimes thick. Although out of all of this, I'm kind of proud.
But what happens when you're in middle school and it seems like everyone has hit puberty? Everyone, that is, but you.
You know, it just seemed like all the girls in around 7th and 8th grade were kind of like entering puberty, and I just felt like I was just this like little girl that was still not quite there yet and feeling very invisible.
For Liz Grossman, feeling invisible wasn't the half of it. Why should all the other girls get to enter womanhood and not her? And there was no one who filled her with more jealousy than
my beautiful, quote-unquote, best friend, Deb, whose life was perfect. I had to hide my insane jealousy of this girl who had it all. Blonde hair, hips, a bra the boys could snap, her period, I mean, all. Dear Diary, hi, this is the first day I'm writing in you. I thought I'd see if the classic good old diary would help me with what's on my mind. There's a lot. I'm so goddamn jealous of Deb. Everybody likes her because of her body. My body is flat, plain, curveless, shapeless, ugly, and unpubicized. How can everyone be so unsensitive? I'm so goddamn motherfucking son of a bitch shit ugly. I'm short, pale with frizzy hair, have bluish, blackish, reddish circles around big puffy eyes on a greenish white face. A real beauty queen, huh? Wait, I'm not done. I'm stupid, horrible in sports, shy, my teeth are fucked up. I have a bump on my nose the size of Los Angeles, and I have absolutely no chest. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, God. Thanks for everything. Liz. November 18th. Well, Diary, it happened. Jack and Deb are going out. I have mixed feelings. I'm raging with envy because Jack is the most popular boy in school. Deb was nothing before he started liking her. He just wants her body. It's so obvious. No one likes me. Anyway, I'm happy because, wait, God damn it, I'm not happy about anything. Jack is an asshole. Deb is an idiot. Who am I kidding? Maybe Jack really does like Deb. God, I wish I could see myself in high school. Will I be pretty? Will I have a good body? Will I have a boyfriend? I must know or I will go crazy. Life is so unfair. Please, God, in a dream, answer my questions, please. Liz. November 25th. Oh my God, Diary, Deb thinks she's so fucking cool. It makes me sick. I don't hate her, like I said in my previous entries. I'm just so jealous. It isn't fair how all of a sudden she's Miss Hot, Miss Popular, Miss Sexy. I'm so ugly compared to her. Shit! I better be like her when I hit puberty, if I ever do. I pray to God that in 2 or 3 years, I'll look back at this page and say, oh boy, Liz, you were wrong. You have a lot of boyfriends. I wish Deb would stop going with Jack. I will celebrate the day he dumps her. She doesn't deserve him. I'm such a bitch. She's my best friend. I'm the fucking spoiled snob who can't let anyone be better than me. Well, that takes care of step one. Admit that you have a problem. Liz.
I don't think Deb had any idea that I was so jealous of her. I mean, we were actually like pretty good friends and I hung out with her a lot. You know, I felt like I couldn't relate as much to the girls who were getting boyfriends or the girls who were going through puberty and things like that. You are just kind of like, how does everybody see me? I feel like it kind of escalates in your head more than it is in reality.
November 26th. Holy shit. Deb is driving me crazy because she's grown so pompous from all the compliments. Maybe I'd be doing the same thing. God, the day someone calls me hot is the day I spew hard-boiled eggs. I need reinforcement from a male to make sure I'm not totally ugly. Deb and Jack are still at it. Deb is climbing rung by rung to the top of the popularity ladder every day. I'm so jealous, I feel like killing her. My life sucks. Please, God, make my life better. Let me get my feelings out. Goddamn motherfucker, son of a bitch, shithead. Bitch, fucker, goddamn it. That pretty much describes my life. December 5th. My mom made me feel horrible tonight. She told me I would look better with a nose job. This is how I plan to improve my look. Short. I'll eventually get taller. My legs are long. Pale. Going to Arizona in March. Frizzy hair. Elixir. Mousse. Gel. I'll find something. Dark circles. I need some wonder makeup that'll pound out those puppies. No chest. I'll grow. Bad teeth. The ortho is trying his best. Nose. We discussed this already. I have so much to worry about as a teenager. I'm really getting terrified for high school. What will happen? God damn, I wish I would grow everywhere. It's not fair to have to be so small. But come to think of it, it's unfair for people to be crippled. Or blind, or retarded. Now I feel better. Not so alone.
It was really like the 7th and 8th grade kind of like dark period that I sort of let everything out. And then luckily, as I did enter high school, you know, Deb and I kind of settled into different groups of friends. I stopped obsessing with her every move. I needed a bra eventually. My nose grew into my face. I learned how to like straighten my hair. I realized that everyone goes through, you know, the phase of like going through puberty at different levels and your friends are like not always gonna be like on the same page with you.
January 7th. Well, Jack finally dumped Deb. Yes! You don't know how happy I am. When she told me, a huge weight lifted off my chest. I don't know why. She'll just be less conceited, and I think I like Jack anyway. Thank you.
That was Liz Grossman in Chicago at Lincoln Hall. Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com. While puberty stirred up feelings of jealousy in Liz, in Andrew, it stirred up feelings of guilt.
I definitely had some moments where it was like, I must be the grossest, horniest person in the world. and that's my cross to bear. And I hope nobody else finds out. Like, I couldn't control myself a little bit.
That guilt crept into his dreams, because even when he slept, he couldn't quite give himself permission to get it on.
I have never had a fully satisfying sex dream. There's always something weird going on that's like, it's like, oh, you're trying to have sex, but you're in the back of a pickup truck and it's throwing you around, or you're trying to have sex, but oh, she turns into an alligator. And you don't have sex with an alligator, not because you don't want to, but because it's not safe.
Andrew wasn't the only one haunted by erotic dreams. Mark Hirsch was no different. Only his were even weirder.
January 12th, 1988. Dream. I was walking along somewhere when an alien spaceship landed in front of me. I went up to it to examine it when an alien emerged from it. I started talking to him, and we soon went into the ship. When we came out of the ship, a girl of about my age was playing with her poodle. Then, this is the part that I'm really worried about. She started trying to train her dog, and she kept saying, "Fluffy, eat pussy." I don't know if she was pointing to herself, but I assume she meant her. Then, I suppose uncontrollably, as she bent over to pick her poodle up, I mounted her ass in a somewhat sexual position. She asked what I was doing, but she wasn't really angry. I don't remember anything in the dream after this point, and it really scares me. I mean, the girl wasn't anybody I actually know, but I'm worried like something like this could come over me even though I couldn't control it. I just don't know.
Of course, Mark was far from the only boy scared out of his pubescent mind.
I was never that excited for puberty when it hit. I pretty much spent my teenage years trying to be as much of a kid as I still could. And so as far as I was concerned, puberty was just terrifying.
Tim Hulsizer wasn't just worried about losing his childhood. He was worried that puberty was turning him into some sort of fiend.
I constantly wanted to see nudity and sex in any way I could. So I would have, you know, these Playboys hidden under my mattress and stuff like that. I think I was simultaneously terrified of growing up and sexuality, and also completely obsessed with it.
Tuesday, June 2nd, 1992. Ah, sweet youth. The resilience, the carefree happiness, the summertime romps in the grass with chums from school. Give me a break. What a crock. Sweet youth to me means sadness, depression, unrequited love, and getting bug bites. And getting made fun of, and hating those who go out with girls you like. Damn that Mike Wright. Tim's daily secret. I have never kissed a girl on the lips, and I can't wait to. It looks great. Sunday, October 31st, 1993, Halloween. I wonder why it is that more often than not I write in this diary addressing someone as if anyone were reading. I mean, nothing eventful ever happens. I don't take drugs and have never even kissed a girl, so there's no juicy stories on those sort of topics. All I can do is offer pathetic little embarrassing facts about myself. Like so. The other night I was forced to change my underwear not once but twice. Strange. The sticky yellow blobs of semen, I think, smell strange. Like mild detergent or something. I can't understand how in pornos the women can swallow it. They rub it on themselves too, which seems strange. After all, I have to clean it off myself when I wake up sometimes, and that shit is sticky. By the way, if this diary was published, I'd want it published in its entirety, word for word. You know, I never masturbate. Is that strange? I don't know. I have plenty of wet dreams at night, but I've never masturbated. grabbing it with your own hand and jerking until orgasm. Come on, people, get a life. I may never have had a woman, but at least I don't need to whack myself off.
It was nonstop wet dreams, nonstop erections, but for some reason, just not bothering to complete the act while conscious. I got really good at doing my own laundry. And so I think it manifested itself in me just saying, sex is stupid, masturbation is stupid. Look at these magazines that I've collected purposely. They're horrible and ridiculous. Let me get another one and I'll prove it by looking at it some more.
Monday, December 13th, 1993. I want to have sex. Not just sex, but the lusty, sweaty, illicit, urgent, moaning, orgasmic kind of sex they have in the movies. I'd like to probe a vagina with my tongue, to hear a girl sigh and shudder with pleasure, and to see if there really is a taste. Basically, sex looks like fun, and it's all our entire society is based on, so I must be missing out on something. Then again, this entire train of thought is fucking academic and merely hypothetical because although I'm no longer grossly overweight, I am a shy, pimply-faced little toad who reads comic books, writes perverted diary entries, and has no future as a romantic. Help me. Thursday, February 3rd, 1994. Some adolescents have problems like penis envy. Not me. I'm quite happy with the size of my penis, and I feel that I could adequately satisfy my sexual partner if the need arose. And that's not counting my utter lack of experience. If we included that fact, well, I must say that I'll be a terrible lover because I'll constantly be stopping to say, does that feel good? Size must matter, I've concluded, because most men say it doesn't. That means they're insecure about their own size and must subconsciously rationalize it. I would venture to say that except for two flaws, I'm quite suitable to go out with someone. After all, I'm clean, intelligent, or so mom says. And I always put the toilet seat down. So what are the flaws? One, of course, is personality. For one who hates math and science, I'm way too logical or analytical or whatever. And the second flaw is that I'm ugly. Not scream and run away ugly. But pimple-faced ugly. Welcome to adolescence, you say. Be glad you're not crippled or diseased, you say. And of course you're right. It's just this damn youthful sexual frustration and loneliness speaking again. Thursday, April 28th, 1994. Well, last night I pulled out a stupid old porno tape. But aren't they all stupid? And hey, I masturbated for the first time. I actually did write applause here, but you do not have to. Oh, where were you 20 years ago? I mean, I've had wet dreams at night before, but this is the first time I ever did it on purpose and while conscious. Everyone always talks about it, so I decided to give it a shot. It was okay. I got the old choking the chicken action going and did it in a Kleenex, like you care. Sorry, there's more. So, up until this point, I'm not really sure why I was so anti-masturbation. We weren't religious or anything. I think I just had this whole mindset of like, no cliches. I don't want to be like normal people. I don't know. So once I did try masturbating, it became a literal slippery slope. Saturday, October 8th, 1994. Wow, quite a day. I went with mom and dad to pick apples, and we bought a couple pumpkins for Halloween. I decided to try something I heard about in a movie a long time ago. You're way ahead. In director Jim Jarmusch's film Night on Earth, Italian actor Roberto Benigni talks about how as a kid, his character would carve holes in pumpkins and use them to masturbate. So I tried it, but finally gave up. It's just not that exciting. Maybe I was subconsciously worried that someone would see me. Whatever the case, I'm just not a vegisexual.
Growing up and growing into myself was a lot of trial and error that took way longer than it should have. I mean, once I tried masturbating, the floodgates were open, no pun intended. It was every waking moment was like, how do I get alone and do this again? It was a huge turning point. It was just like full speed ahead. Let's jump into this. Let's see where this goes.
Now, many people say pornography is wrong, and I agree to some extent. For example, child pornography is wrong. But when the people involved are consenting adults being paid good money to pose nude for a camera in order to be idolized later, well, I'm all for it. There's so many other things fucking up our world. Bullets ending lives, famine, disease. If I have to be involved with something wrong, make it pornography, I say. Thank you very, very much.
Puberty has a way of making us view ourselves as something grotesque, which is something that no one really likes. But as Andrew learned long ago, resistance is futile.
Puberty starts by turning us into these kind of unregulated monsters that can't think straight.
Once again, Andrew.
And then the payoff is you're an adult, which is kind of funny because like being a kid is fun and being an adult can be hard, but the truth is you don't have a choice. So the other option is to curl up in a ball and let life pass you by, which can seem very seductive, but you can't do that forever.
Aging is inevitable, and adolescence isn't the only phase where our bodies endure terrifying changes. For some, that means a return to waxing.
I had never thought of middle age as a second puberty, but I guess it is physically. I recently got my back waxed. I actually got it sugared, which I guess is like, you hear it and you're like, oh, sugared, that sounds pleasant, but it's really just like getting waxed and it hurts. I will say the ear hair situation has gotten wild. Like I've got like antennas growing up on top of my ears. And last week I noticed in this magnifying glass mirror that I actually had a bunch of long hairs like right up under my eyes. You come out of puberty a man. I don't know what you come out of middle age. An old man, I guess. Or just dead.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Or visit getmortified.com where you can find out about our live stage shows, our TV stuff, or order a copy of My Mortified Life, a guided journal from the makers of this podcast. Inside, you'll find hundreds of writing prompts about your own experiences with puberty, romance, friendship, and more. And while you're online, check out episodes of Big Mouth on Netflix. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. If your company would like to sponsor our podcast, email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Hadley Dion, Joey Fishcrown, Neil Ketcher, and myself, Dave Nadelberg. Shada Grandis, Annette Ferrara, Sarah Faith Alterman, Scott Lifton, and Karen Corday story produced these for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snakes, Snakes, Snakes. Additional thanks to Abe Foreman Greenwald, Mark Levin, Jennifer Flackett, and to all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you we are freaks and we are fragile, and we all survived even the seediest of moments.
It took a pumpkin to get me through puberty. Yeah, I really put the pump in pumpkin there, it's for sure.